And I know we've touched on it more and more lately. I want to focus on it again today to try to help us enter into experiencing this, using this tool, this gift that God gave us to help us. And that's the idea of groaning in the Spirit. And it's actually the groaning of the Spirit from within, from our spirit. The groaning of the Spirit. And so the groaning in travail, travailing or groaning, which means a longing for something better. God is always desiring something better for you and me. Right? I want something better. I want something greater. I want to see something greater for our son in Virginia. I want to see something greater for people who are coming to a part of our church. Something greater in fulfillment. Something greater in a life of faith and overcoming. Something greater in people being called into the ministry. Hallelujah. And going on into all the world, preaching the gospel. Something greater in those that have been here and are no longer here, but are somewhere out in the world, that they would also be used of God in a greater way, to pray for something greater, something better. Also, I was thinking this morning, it's connected to the beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. To mourn is similar to groan. To groan in the Spirit, to mourn, to long for something better. Now, the beautiful part of the book of Romans, this chapter, is it really touches on a whole lot. In verse 22, it says, the creation is groaning. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The creation wants something better. Amen. And why is that? It's because the creation has been suffering because of the sin of Adam and Eve and the evil being passed on to all the earth, the whole earth being affected, caused death, destruction to come to all the creation. And the creation wants to be set free from that. All right? So the groaning for that, desiring to be set free. And how is that going to happen? Well, the verses before it, this is verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Waiting and groaning are part of the same process. The creation is eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Who's that? That's you and the people of God worldwide. The creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, the people of God. For then it says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The key to the deliverance of the creation is within the body of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 May the body of Christ rise up and be manifested as the sons of God. Set the captive free. Set the creation free. Because they're groaning in travail, longing for that freedom. Hallelujah. And then it says the believer is groaning. In verse 23, it says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we who are born again. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Amen. That's your resurrected body. That's your glorified body. We're waiting for that. Groaning, right? Anybody have any pains in their body today? Yeah, hallelujah. You know what groaning means, right? Hallelujah. Oh, man, there's my aching back, whatever it is. Oh, by the way, my back is better. It's approved. That's approved. I've been taking dominion over it, casting out that pain. Finally, improvement has come. Amen. Hallelujah. So the glorification of our bodies. Amen. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will be raised first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with that truth. Amen. Amen. And then verse 26. Okay, so the creation has been groaning. And the born again believers are groaning. But now the Spirit is groaning. It's a whole different ballgame. Holy Spirit. The Spirit himself. Amen. Makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. That's not just tongues, but can include it. Because your whole spirit is desiring something better. You're desiring God to use you. You're desiring God to fulfill his promises. You're desiring something in your family, in your future, in your purpose to come forth. So the Spirit himself is actually praying in you for that reason, because he's desiring the same thing. The Spirit of God is desiring good for you, not punishment. The Spirit of God is desiring good for you. Because he's in you. He's in you. He's in you forever. He's desiring your well-being. He's desiring that you be filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. Regardless of who the president is. Amen. I was listening to an African-American preacher who I really like, Wellington Boone. He's on my Facebook every day now. I'm not sure how he got there, but I'm glad he's there. And he's always talking about your transformation is the main thing. Your transformation is the most important thing. Your transformation does not depend on who the president is. Amen. Hallelujah. Presidents come and go. The Holy Spirit desires your transformation into to becoming just like Christ. Hallelujah, you're overcoming because you're being prepared for eternity. Your service in eternity, whatever that will be. There's preparation going on now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is groaning deep within. Maybe there's a vision that God gave you for the future, for something. Like God gave Abraham a vision that he would be the heir of the world. And that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. God gave him the vision of the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. And it says, through you, Abraham, your descendants will be like this in this innumerable company. And this is before he even had a son. And how will this be? How will this happen? It'll happen to the Father and the Son. The covenant will be made by the smoking furnace and the burning lamp. It's the walk between the pieces of the sacrifice. The blood covenant will be made. And because of the blood covenant, you will be the heir. You'll be an heir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for years, Abraham's walking around with this vision inside. It's not happening. For years, it's not happening. But you see, it's for the appointed time. You got to wait patiently for the vision to come to pass. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You know, prayer is the thing. Prayer is the thing that gets us through, that sees us through into the victory, the final consummation of victory. We live in the victory, but there's a consummation of that victory. And prayer is the vehicle to get us through to that. Amen. Amen. So we grow, and we don't know how to pray. It's such a big deal. And you know, we prayed about it, don't know how to pray anymore. So it's groaning from deep within, from your spirit, man. At first, we didn't know that we had a spirit man, maybe, or we didn't know that God was in there. But the more we became aware of it, we started asking, Lord, help us to know you on the inside. And as he helps us to know his presence on the inside, then that grows inside, and we can start to hear his voice, his still small voice on the inside. Hallelujah. His voice doesn't come through the storm and the hurricane and the hail and the lightning, but his voice is a still small voice that comes through the Spirit inside. Who's praying? He's praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have to exercise our spirit. Exercise our spirit and soul to prayer and worship. Exercise them to learn, to discern good and evil. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Most people are so busy and ignoring and avoiding what God might be saying on the inside. Maybe they don't want to hear it. God's saying, God's calling someone, I gotta get a house. I gotta get this. I gotta get that. You know, whatever. Again, I'm not knocking getting a house, but it's like other things get in the way of the voice of God on the inside. Amen. But remember, verse 28 says, all things work together for good, those who love God. So we cannot take that verse away from verse 26 and 27. So the praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, praying that the Spirit praying in us will bring about something good. Won't bring about something bad. Because the Holy Spirit is not about bringing something bad. It's about good. So all things work together for good to those who love God, who worship, are worshipers, and to those who are the called, according to his purpose. Well, I'm looking at a bunch of people here that are the called. You're called to live for Christ. You're called to follow. You're called. To represent him in 2020, the year 2020, you call as disciples, followers of Christ. Hallelujah, for a purpose, a destination, a destiny, a crown, a purpose, to call to his purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The praying in the Spirit, praying through us, is a very vital part of bringing that to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When we pray in the Spirit, we're depending on God alone. We don't know how to pray for something. So all we can do, pray in the Spirit. I don't know how that building plan is going to happen. So all I can do is pray in the Spirit. That's all we can do. That's all I can do. Pray in the Spirit. Where's it going to come from? Where's the finance? Pray in the Spirit. Everybody's not back yet. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Lord, you know. Lord, it's in your hands. Praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit. That's what that Ephesians 6 is again. We've read this before. Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. Oh, it's just important. This is important to pray for the saints that are born again as it is for people to become born again. Sometimes there's a tendency to say, oh, you got to go out there, win souls. Oh, that's true. But it's just as important to make disciples of the souls that have been won. That's why, you know, I'll skip down to, but in that, there's a passage, a verse in Galatians 4:19. I'll read it now. Galatians 4:19. And this is Paul speaking, writing. He says, my children, the people that I won, I brought into the kingdom. I brought into the church. My children, for whom I labor in birth again. That's mourning. That's groaning. I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not just that you said the sinner's prayer once and that's it. No. There's a growing to do. There's a calling on your life. There's a purpose and a destiny that also needs to come forth. Amen. We can't quit. We can't give up. We can't stop. We go all the way to the end of this life, which is preparation for the next. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So praying in the Spirit is got to be crucial for this to happen. Amen. Praying for our son. Praying for his household. Praying for others in the church here that are following Christ. Praying for those that God's raising up into the ministry. Praying for those that used to come here that are no longer here. Praying that they'll find peace and find fulfillment in Christ. Praying. Hallelujah. Praying for the backslider. Praying for the prodigals to come back. All kinds of issues to pray about, and we don't know how to pray for them. So praying in the tongues, praying in the Spirit, praying with the Spirit, with the Spirit, with the Spirit, letting the Spirit pray in me. Oh, I need to grow, to learn that more. Hallelujah. 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 When we pray in the Spirit, we are depending on God alone. So we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And as we have shared before, in 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's okay. Pray in the Spirit anyway. Keep praying in the Spirit. Because the next verse says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will also pray with the understanding. Hallelujah. Or as King James says, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. With the emphasis on the understanding means the understanding will come. So I pray in the Spirit. You know, last week when Joanne Pierce was here, Joanne Pierce, if you were, I'm not sure if anybody was here in the second service. Second service, she broke out in a message in the Spirit for a couple of moments and then right away interpreted it. It was such a glorious moment. I know it didn't happen in the other services, but the point is it can happen. It can happen in you. It can happen in you and then through you. Hallelujah. And, you know, and this is not something, some little toy that we play with. This is a vital part of our walk. This is to be a vital part of our walk in Christ that most of the church knows nothing about. Hallelujah, but you do. We know something about it. We need to develop it now. Grow in it. Move and have our being in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can take us beyond our limitations and our weaknesses. Amen. As the Message translation says, the groaning is like aching groans. Aching groans for something better, something greater to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus prayed in the Spirit during painful and difficult times. In Hebrews 5:7. Amen. Hebrews 5:7 speaks about Jesus before he went to the cross. It says that in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit. And Luke chapter, Luke chapter 22 helps us understand that. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. In Luke 22:39, it says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then he sweat. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Hallelujah. He was fighting the fight of faith. He was battling against the forces of darkness. He was brooding over the darkness. He was praying against the works of Satan. He was about to go headlong into the fight, face-to-face fight and defeat of Satan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was the big moment, the big reason, the main reason why Jesus came. Hallelujah. Groaning in the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Other times when Jesus prayed, there's another time where he groaned before raising Lazarus from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In John chapter 11, it says, remember Jesus, this is the famous chapter that speaks of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And remember, Mary and Martha were upset with Jesus because he was late, right? They were going to rebuke him because he was late. He didn't get there in time to pray and heal Lazarus from the sickness. So Lazarus died. But it was the Spirit of God that delayed him. Now, you know, you can't always explain that to people, you know? They say, oh, you relate, you know. But you just have to ignore that. Amen. And look past that and say, relax. Something's going to happen. Something greater is going to happen. Something greater beyond what you ever thought is about to happen. And so then Jesus comes to the tomb, right? He comes to the tomb. And it says here in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit. He groaned in the spirit. He was troubled. He's groaning in the spirit. He's praying in the spirit. The Spirit of God's praying in him. Hallelujah. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. That meant he was praying. He's praying. He's praying. He didn't weep because, oh, what am I going to do? No. He's praying in the spirit, groaning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. They didn't know what to talk about. And some of them said, could not this man have opened the eyes of the blind, kind of kept him from dying? But then Jesus again groaning. Oh, within himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave. His stone lay against it. He's groaning. He's groaning before the Father. He's waiting for the signal. Waiting for the signal of the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus said, take away the stone. Right? Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's much be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe that you would see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone, and from the place where the dead man was lying, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard my groaning. You've heard me praying in the spirit. Hallelujah. You've heard me. Hallelujah. And I know that you hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. See, the signal was given by the Father. Okay, now, come forth, Lazarus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the Trinity at work. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of course, Lazarus came forth, wrapped up in the grave clothes. He said, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. This was the big miracle. The big miracle that got him in more trouble than anything else. Raising from the dead. Death is the final enemy to be destroyed. Is death. Hallelujah. 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 Groaning. Groaning in the Spirit. The Spirit groaning within us. And now Jesus is still groaning today in the Spirit on his throne. Amen. And I have in the past, are quoted from a book by Kelly Varner, and it's called the More Excellent Ministry. That Jesus is now in the more excellent ministry since he went to the cross and took away our sins and then rose again from the dead, took away our guilt and condemnation, took away and healed, brought healing and restoration and reconciliation to mankind, all mankind. Since he did all that, he has a new ministry on the throne. Hallelujah. Today, Jesus is the man with a ministry. Amen. And Brother Varner described it as a ministry without condemnation, without prejudice, without walls, without retaliation, without profanity, without idolatry. Hallelujah. That's his ministry today. And since we are his people, since we sit with him in heavenly places, since we sit with him, we have the same calling, same ministry, without condemnation, without prejudice, without walls, without retaliation, without profanity, without idolatry. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The world is full of condemnation. Somebody makes a mistake, condemnation is all over the place. Whether it's a political person, whether it's somebody that fails, the world is attacking, criticizing, condemning right away. But that's not our calling anymore. That was the old covenant. But now our ministry is the same as Christ. So, for example, we've all probably, most of us heard this week of a well-known pastor in a well-known church in Manhattan that fell into immorality. And the incident is all over the press, all over the papers. And the tendency in the body of Christ could be, the temptation is point the finger. False prophet. False. 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 But we are not like that anymore. We don't talk that way anymore. We believe that God can heal him and at least restore him to spiritual well-being again, to heal his failure, give him victory, to reconcile him again to his family, to reconcile him and help him to recover so he'll go to heaven. And maybe whatever the future holds, that have some kind of a role in serving others again, some kind of a role of helping people not do what he did. That's what we're called to be. Called to be healers, blessers, uplifters, helpers, counselors. Hallelujah. That's your ministry. Hallelujah. The press will take care of the condemnation. We don't have to help the press. The press makes you depressed. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But God is longing for his people to walk in the same love that he lives in. Oh, hallelujah, I know. Oh, it's a tall order. But you no longer live. But Christ now lives in you. If you no longer live, then you can't be offended. Because you're dead. Right? Now Christ lives in you. Now the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you, who dwells in your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have time to read about Jacob. Jacob's desire to receive God's love and his favor. After Jacob made all those mistakes, made all those enemies, he desired God to love him. And he sought him. He wrestled with him. Till the angel came and caused him to limp. But he prevailed. Prevailed in prayer. Prevailed in praying in the spirit. In groaning. You can read it in Hosea chapter 12, verse 3 to 6 and 12 to 13, and Genesis 28 and Genesis 32. Hallelujah. But I want you just focus that on Jesus' love. That Jesus' love. And here's where we need to grasp the need of Jesus to be loved. Jesus needs to be loved by you. Jesus is longing for fellowship, for relationship. Hallelujah. That's why he says in Revelation 3:20, right? Revelation 3:20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." Oh, that's what he longs for. Communion, fellowship with the saints, with his brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed to call you his brother and sister. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Hallelujah. He's desiring communion, love from us. Oh, help us. Help me, Lord, to love you more. Help me, Lord. In Revelation 22, 17, the desire of the Lord is that the Spirit of God praying in the bride, praying in the people of God, will eventually bring about Revelation 22, 17, where it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In an earlier verse, he said the tabernacle of God is among men, among people. Hallelujah. I don't remember where that verse was. It's in there somewhere. The tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, is among people. He came to dwell with us. He came to live in us. And we live in him. He desires your love, your worship, your adoration. Hallelujah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's still the great commandment. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is Jesus groaning, praying for us that we would draw nearer, that we would get to know him better, and we grow in union, communion with him. Hallelujah. Our relationship would continually grow. Amen.